to the next commandment. And, of course, that will be in, we looked at honor thy father and our mother last week. And this week we're going to be looking at verse 13. And boy, it won't take long to read it, does it? It says in verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that come this evening on this Wednesday. We pray that you touch others, that give them a desire to come back on Wednesday, Lord. And we pray that you are your blessings upon this meeting this evening. May you use it for your glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have this also in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 17. As you know, you have the Ten Commandments in both. But Deuteronomy was written in the last year of Moses' life. So since it was a new generation getting ready to go into the promised land, the word Deuteronomy means, you remember what it means? Second giving of the law. He gave the law again in Deuteronomy to teach this young generation about the things of the Lord, about the law. And that's what he did. Now, the Ten Commandments, hopefully won't take too awful long. And the idea of thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not murder. Doesn't mean you can't kill and eat. I mean, you can see in the scriptures where they killed and ate. And it doesn't mean you can't go hunting or anything of that nature. But the idea of thou shalt not kill, the word kill, is you're not to murder. You're not to commit murder. And certainly there's a variety of different ways that murder can be committed, or can be, that commandment can be broken. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this evening. Let me go ahead and give you my outline here in the beginning, in case I get too windy, which I'm going to try not to. Number one, we're going to look at the act of murder. What the act of murder is. You pretty much know what the act of murder is, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Number two, we'll look at the thought of murder. Not only can you commit murder by the act, but you can also break it in where at? In your heart. You can do it in your heart, too. You have to remember that God looks on the what? He looks on the heart. We can't have our religion, so to speak, being all outward. It's the inward part that's important to the Lord. The Lord sees the what? The Lord sees the heart. I mean, there's people that outwardly seem to be obedient, but inside they're in a mess. And we always seem to fight our inward man, don't we? And we will all of our days until one of these days we get a new body. And we get that new body, we won't sin, and we won't have evil thoughts, and we won't get angry or anything. Ain't that going to be awesome? I can't wait to get there. That's the greatest thing other than seeing the Master, to be without sin. Because if you're born again, it bothers you when you sin. I don't like how I think sometimes. I don't like how I do sometimes. And it bothers you. I actually like for people sometimes come and say, oh, Pastor, I feel so awful. I've had people do that. Oh, I feel like I ain't even saved. I've had such a horrible week. And what it is, that's an evidence they are saved because sin bothers them. Sin bothers them, and it should. So we'll look at the act of murder, the thought of murder will be our second point we look at. And then our third, the mouth of murder. You can commit murder with your mouth. You can commit murder with your mouth. You can kill somebody with your mouth, too. That's what I'm referring to. Number four, we'll look at the murder of infants. And then we'll close out if we make it. We'll close out with some questions. And question number one will be a question about suicide. Question number two will be a question about capital punishment. And then number three, what of killing in war? So we got a lot to do this evening. You see what I mean? We got a lot we're going to look at this evening under this particular heading. Okay? All right, let's look at the act of murder. Someone, of course, we know what murder is, someone killing somebody else. The very first act of murder is in Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 8. And that's when Cain slew Abel. He slew Abel. Because Abel's or Cain's works wasn't what they should have been. Cain never offered correctly. They were given instructions with regard to how to come to him. And just to make a long story short, Cain never didn't offer the sacrifice as he should. If you'll go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 4, I want to look a little bit at that. I don't want to get off on it because I like to preach on it, especially on the offering that they were supposed to have offered. Genesis chapter 4. Notice it says, verse 3. And in process, it says in verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of what? He's a keeper of sheep. He's a keeper of sheep. He's a shepherd. Imagine that. David was a shepherd. So Abel was a shepherd. He's a man of God. He's a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground, meaning basically he was a farmer. There's been some good farmers, ain't they? But Cain had a little bit of trouble. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. So what Cain brought is he took the fruit. He planted a garden. He took the produce from that garden and he offered that up to the Lord. Now, you'll notice in verse 4, I can't get off on this. So I'm not going to, because I have a tendency to and I don't want to, but I want to show you something. Now watch how this reads. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now the idea of those two verses when you run them together is Abel, he brought a grain offering. Now when you look back up at verse 3, the word offering means a grain offering. If you want to know the word for it, it's the word mincha. So what Cain offered is Cain offered a mincha. He offered a grain offering. That's what he brought. You know, it's like wheat per se, and it's a seed you planted that come up, okay? So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel. See verse 4? So Abel also brought a mincha. He also brought of the fruit of the ground. But notice what else it said. And he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, did you get what I just said? So what you see is Cain brought a mincha, but he didn't bring no lamb. Whereas Abel brought a mincha, and he also brought a lamb. He brought both of it. And of course, when you look on over in the book of Genesis, that was eventually would be what the daily sacrifice was. They would offer the Lord a lamb every morning, and they would offer the Lord a lamb every evening. They did that at the temple. But they just didn't offer a lamb. They also offered a mincha. You know what a mincha is? It's a grain offering. You know how grains, why it's a big deal? You know why it's grain? It's a seed that you put into the ground, and what does it do? It comes up. So in the sacrifice of a lamb, you see a picture of the death of Jesus Christ, but in the coming up of the mincha, you see a picture of his what? Somebody tell me. His resurrection. So that both was pictured. They just didn't use the lamb. They offered the lamb, and with the lamb they offered a mincha. That's what they did. So that gives a full and complete picture of the gospel message. That's what it's a picture of. I like that. I think that's a pretty thing to remember. They just didn't offer a lamb. They offered a lamb, and Abel also with that offered a grain offering, which pictured his resurrection. The death of the lamb pictured the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and the mincha picture the resurrection of Lord Jesus. What did Cain do wrong? He never offered correctly. He never came the way the Lord said. He brought the mincha, but he didn't bring the what? He didn't bring the lamb. So he offered something to the Lord that was incomplete. And you guess what it was? It made him angry. He didn't like that at all. Now let's read on now. Just wanted to give you a little background to that. I like that so well. Let's go ahead and begin at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, what to say? He didn't have no respect to it. He it basically means the Lord rejected his sacrifice. He rejected what he brought. Why did he reject what he brought? Didn't come correctly. He didn't bring the lamb with the minchah. Just he didn't offer as Abel did. The picture had to be the picture of his death and his resurrection. Just not. Jesus didn't just die. If all Jesus did was die, we'd have no hope. Jesus died, but what else did he do? He resurrected. He resurrected again. So now he's angry. He's in the flesh. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. And what did he do? He killed him. So there's your first act of murder in the Scriptures, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4 and verse 8. So that's your first act of murder. Is there a lot of murder in our land? Oh, my. I looked up just a little bit of stuff for you, where you remember. It says these are old stats. I like to sometimes go back and get the older ones because they're a little bit less than what they are now. But I want you to listen to this. To begin to recall, the United States went to war in Iraq during the early spring of 2003. Since then, close to 4,900 American men and women have been variously killed during combat operations. Compare that. Remember, these were combat operations. And it listed 4,900 were killed between 2003 and 2006 in the United States alone. Okay? Now it says the number of murders between 2003 and 2006 in the United States alone is 66,460. I want you to think about that number just a little bit because that's a conservative number. That's between 2003 and 2006. Remember, this is just stats. It just gives you an idea how bad things are, though. Between 2003 and 2006, the United States alone, 66,460. In 2005 alone, the last year for which complete statistics are available, there were 16,692 murders in the United States. 16,000. Man, you look at Chicago, that's frightening what's going on in Chicago. It's just one murder after the other. So it's a dangerous place to live. Let me give you another one. Abortion is murder too. It's surely the foulest of all murders as it takes lives of the most innocent and helpless of human beings, the unborn. Now here's the statistics on that. And one of the good statistics per people is the Guttmacher Institute. That's usually when Christians go and get their stats. That's normally where they go to. According to the Guttmacher Institute, approximately 1.37 million babies are murdered each year in the United States alone. That means that in every year, a population the size of Mecklenburg County, in which I live, never lives to see the light of day. The same source tells us that approximately 126,000 abortions take place each day worldwide. That equals one abortion every 1.5 seconds. So, that's frightening, isn't it? Murders, too. So when you get to adding up all the great number of people that die through murder, acts of violence, it's frightening. This old world, beloved, is in a mess all the way around. And don't y'all think it's getting worse in the United States than it's ever been? I mean, I don't even watch the news anymore. I just get sick of hearing it. I mean, here in Bancroft, it ain't like it is in other places. I'm glad of that. But my. That's all you hear about is killing and killing and killing and death and violence and unbelievable. So, sad state. And this text, of course, what we're looking at this evening, thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not murder. And that's one of the most important. All the commandments are important, but you can see how that's being broke over and over again through acts of murder. Now, what's another way that murder is done? Murder is done also by the thought. You can have thought murder. You can kill someone in your mind. The book of Proverbs 24 and verse 9 says that the very thought of foolishness is sin. So Jesus made that clear in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember when he talked about adultery? So you don't only commit adultery by the act, but you also commit it in your heart and in your thoughts. So you have the thought of murder and you have the thought of adultery. Turn to the book of 1 John chapter 3. So we're looking at thou shalt not murder. You think it's needed? Yeah, it's needed bad. And it's just growing and just picking up steam as time goes on. 1 John chapter 3. And notice what it says in verse 15. Now, we all understand the act of murder. That's why I didn't spend much time on it. We know what the act of murder is. And we talked about the great number of murders in the United States. And you can look those stats up yourself and see how many it is. It's alarming. It's alarming. I mean, it's frightening what's going on. And God's people needs to pray. And what we need is a good, strong, stout revival. Lord, to shake things up a bit. Because this thing is frightening how it's going on. 1 John chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 15. Whosoever hates his brother is a what? Did y'all see that? Whosoever hates his what? Hates his brother is a murderer. Beloved, where does God look at when He looks at you? God looks on your heart. Yeah. Well, sometimes all we're really concerned with is our outwardness, how we look to everybody else. What we need to be concerned with is how we look where God sees. And you know what? If you seek to be right where God sees, then you'll be right all the way around. You'll be well-rounded then. It should bother you if you have bad thoughts. Does it bother you if you have bad thoughts? Can I ask you a question? Do you confess bad thoughts? I mean, we confess actions and we're expected to. But you need to confess it in the thought stage. Now, you know why you need to confess it in the thought stage? To keep it from getting to the action stage. You say, well, if you think it, you just as well do it. Let me say this for the millionth time. That's goofy. That's not right. I don't know where people get that. If you think it, you just as well do it. If I'm thinking about murdering Brother Hollis, that's a sin. I'm not thinking about murdering you, by the way, brother. I'm just using you as an example. If I'm thinking about murdering Brother Hollis, would y'all agree that that's a sin in my heart? But would you not agree if I pulled a gun out from behind this pulpit and shot and killed Brother Hollis, that would be worse? So people say things like, oh, if you think it, you just... When you think it, you cut it off in the thought stage, and that keeps it from going to the action stage. Use just another illustration when King David committed adultery. And he's seen that woman. I think she's a fine-looking woman. If he'd have cut that off before it got to the action stage, then that man, that her husband, wouldn't have got killed, would he? It would have saved him a lot of mess right there. He wouldn't have committed adultery either. He wouldn't have done none of those things. But once the thought takes hold, you got to confess it in the thought stage and get it out. Because if you don't, that thing will take root and then it will grow over into the action stage. How can I say it nice? I'm not going to worry about saying it nice. That's when you really do something stupid. Is when it gets into the action. Well, but is both of those a sin? Absolutely both of those are a sin. That's why I attack it where I do. I always seek to attack it in the thought stage. So there's the act of murder, and then there is the thought. People have thought of murder. It's because they're angry. Somebody's done something that has put them into anger. They got mad. And then what happens is if you don't deal with anger right, do y'all remember what it turns into? I want to know. What does anger turn into if you don't deal with it? It will turn into the act. That's one thing it will turn into. But what else does it turn into? Bitterness and hatred. That's right. Bitterness. And when someone gets bitter, the book of Hebrews likens bitterness to a root. And you know why it likens it to a root? Because bitterness lies beneath. That's why it likens it to a root. It's bitterness takes root down in here. And when sometimes someone is bitter, you know where you see it at, and you know where you hear it at. You hear it through their mouth. Their mouth will always reveal bitterness. They'll be so bitter, they'll tell you about what that no good, nothing did to them. They just live in bitterness. And what bitterness will do is it'll take root in a person's heart and takes over your mind. I read there's an old man. I called his wife and tried to get his tract. His name was Brother Landis. And he wrote in one of his tracts that the number one killer of Christian fruitfulness is bitterness. I think he's right. The number one killer of Christian fruitfulness. You can get someone's being fruitful in the things of the Lord, and then what happens? They get bitter over something somebody said or did or didn't do or whatever. And that bitterness will take root down into their heart, and they quit producing fruit. You know anybody that way? They got hurt in a church somewhere, and they ain't darkened the church door for 40 years. And who's that bitterness hurt? It's hurt them. It's hurt them. And when that bitterness takes root, you can have some pretty bad thoughts, some pretty horrible thoughts. So that's the act of murder. And then we also have to contend with, what's the second one? The thought of murder. And the thought of murder is really nothing but hatred. Do you hate anybody? Do you hate anybody? I mean, sometimes people go, I hate them. That's just the same thing as saying you wish they was dead. It's just the same thing. It's that kind of it's a hatred that wish they weren't even here. It's a very dangerous thing to say. The sin in the act is a sin, but the sin in the thought is a sin also. That's why he taught that in the Sermon on the Mount. You don't only commit adultery by the act, but you also commit it in your heart. You don't only commit murder by the act, you also commit it in the heart. And that thought takes root in your heart and it just makes you bitter. Makes you hate people. hate the person. The act of murder, what's number two? The thought of murder. You can do it both ways. Let's talk about the mouth of murder now. The mouth of murder. Just turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Different ways we commit murder. It's all in the Bible. Just kind of dig it out and put it all together. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And let's notice. Watch this. It's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what he says in verse 21. You have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Whosoever shall kill or murder shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, like brainless fella or something along that line, it's a cut-down remark, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of what? That's some pretty strong language, isn't it? You can kill someone with your words. And that's the reason why we entitled this part of it, The mouth of murder. The mouth of murder. Let me read it to you again. Listen to all this. It's why we need to have our tongues under control. Is that a full-time job? Yeah, you got to commit that to the Lord. I mean, I have to, and you have to commit that thing to the Lord, because sometimes you'll say things that are horrible. It really hurt people. So get it one more time. Verse 21. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Rakish shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So that's pretty blunt speech in the text about controlling how you speak to other people. So that's a frightening thing. So we can also kill with our mouth. Let me tell you a little something. I say, because this is the hardest one for me anyhow. I mean, we should be able to recognize that our words can really injure somebody. You can kill somebody with your words. You can kill a Christian with your words. Let me give you an example. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but this was a preacher I knew. And I'm not justifying what he did. As a matter of fact, I told him that. I told he used to be a preacher, and he was serving the Lord, and some people said some very horrible things to him, and it made him bitter. And I said, you know what your problem is? Your trouble is bitterness. I said, look at all this time you could have spent serving Jesus. And you're sitting over here on the sidelines not doing nothing. So I told him. I could tell him that. I really could. I said, but you're not doing nothing. I mean, you're going around whining and telling your sad story to everybody while you're not serving Jesus. You're accountable to serve Jesus. And you're just using that impropriety that guy did, you know, what they did to him as an excuse. But what happened, it took root in his heart and made him bitter. Here's what he told me. He said, Jeff, they killed me. They killed me. He said, they didn't pull out a gun and shot me, but they killed me with their words. That's what he said. And it was a situation where he's on trial for a certain thing. Not trial, I mean in a church, for a church position. And they were mean and rude to him. They were mean and rude to him. Matter of fact, one of the men said that he never seen such an ignorant fellow in all of his days. And it broke his heart. These were prominent men. These were prominent men. And it broke their hearts. So, that's the mouth of murder. Now, I'm not justifying what he's doing. I ain't. But it wiped him out. It did. It just killed him. And he never was able to get over it. And I told him bluntly that you know, you need to get over it. So look, all this time you've wasted, you could have been serving Jesus. You'd have been better off not around them people anyhow, if that's the way they talk to you. They got a whole lot to learn, don't they? But it, you know. So that was the mouth of murder. They killed his service. They killed him with their tongues. Okay? That's three. We're talking about different ways you can kill with the act of murder is the one we're most acquainted with. Number two, the thought of murder. Having hatred in your heart. I mean, if you got hatred in your heart, give it out. And when someone has hatred in your heart, can you tell it? Usually their whole disposition shows it. Get rid of it. It'll make you better. It'll kill your fruitfulness. That's what bitterness is. Number three, the mouth of murder. And that's when you just cut people. You say bad things to folk. And you can kill people with your mouth. You gotta watch how you speak to folks. God's people should speak kindly one to another. Seek to build one another up. We're to edify one another. What's the word edify mean? Build you up. You build one another up. Well, man, you can really hurt someone. Number four. Number four is the murder of infants. And that's what we have. It's another one of those deals where they politicize things and then people don't want to deal with it because they're afraid somebody will think they're being political. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Murder of infants. That's always been a sin, hasn't it? Murder of the infants. Now, what is that that's in a woman's womb? Now, who's the authority for what's in a woman's womb? be Lord, wouldn't it? Yeah, so he would be. So what he says would be the word was is what will declare what's in the womb. In Luke chapter 1, and this is when little John the Baptist was in the womb. I like this. Luke chapter is called a babe. It's called what again? A babe, a brephos. The Greek word for that's brephos. Now let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Here we're going to see the word brephos again. Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's go ahead and get to better context. Look at verse 15. It came to pass that as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came and they made haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the what? What's it called that? Again? Okay. Now, when little John the Baptist was in the womb, what did they call that? It's called a babe. So it didn't distinguish between the babe in the womb and the babe in the cradle. It calls both of them a babe. John the Baptist was in the womb. He's called a babe. Here in this particular text that we're looking at, the babe is lying where at? It's in a manger. So really, it calls that which is in the womb a baby. It calls that which is in the manger. It's already been born. What does the Bible call it? Baby. You say, why do they do that? Why are you going? Why are you saying that for? They're both babies. They try to dehumanize what's in the womb, but calling it something else. Called a baby. That's what the Bible calls it. 6 months in the womb is called a baby. Jesus in the manger was called what again? A baby. They're both babies. When you're in the womb, it's a baby. And out of the womb, it's a baby. It's a baby. Call it a baby. Don't call it a fetus or something. They change the name to dehumanize what it is. Why don't you call it a baby? That's what it should be called. Now, I know there's, you can define the word and what the definition of it isn't that bad, but very few people know what a fetus is. I think you ought to call it what the Bible calls it and call it a baby. In the Old Testament, Pharaoh threw... You remember in the Old Testament, whenever the Hebrews were growing in number? Y'all remember? You remember what Pharaoh wanted done? They had taken and throw them in the Nile. What was in the Nile? But they had drowned them for one thing. But y'all know what else is in the Nile, don't you? Crocs. Known for their big crocs. And it was barbaric what they did. Throw those little babies in there. Horrible thing. Well, it's a shame to kill them in the womb, too. It's a shame to kill them in the womb, too. A place that should be a place of comfort. And there's no, what I'm trying to tell you on this is all I really want you to get. There's no distinction in the Bible from that which is in the womb than that which is in the cradle. They're both babies. All God's people said. Both of them are. I want to be sure to remember that because that's very, very important. What happens is many cases they like to say, well, it's in case the woman, in case the lady or the mother's life is in danger. That's very few cases of that. You look up very few cases for that reason whatsoever. Most generally, why they get rid of the baby is because it's a problem. They don't want it. They don't put it up for adoption. They'd rather kill it. And I'm telling you, beloved, that the nations that does that will stand in judgment before Almighty God for that. Now, I preach this on the radio and on the internet, and I preach it in the church, and I tell people about it. I have for years. I think it's a barbaric thing that we've done in this thing. I do believe that God will hold our nation accountable for that. And still yet, even down today, it's a continual fight. So we've looked at several ways of murder, the act of murder. I could have put this with regard to babies under that same as being an act of murder, because I believe that it is. We talked about the thought of murder, the mouth of murder that cuts people with their mouth horribly. And we talked about the murder of infants, and that refers to, of course, abortion, things of that nature. Now, here's some closing questions I want to give you. If you look up the stats on suicide, there's more Americans die from suicide than homicide. More Americans die from suicide than homicide. As we'll see if I got any... listen to this. Real fast. What about suicide? Which is self-murder. This brother thinks it's self-murder. He may be right. Suicide is the 11th most common cause of death in America. What is suicide? According to the United States Department of Justice in 2005, this is older stats, the last year complete statistics was available, 32,637 people killed themselves in the United States in 1 year. You look at this, you go home and you look the stats up for yourself too, because you'll see how horrible it is. 32,637 people killed themselves in the United States. That's 89.4 every day at a rate of 1 every 16 minutes that people commit suicide. It says the murder total for 2005, mentioned earlier, 16,692. So twice as many people successfully committed suicide, managed to murder themselves, as were murdered by other people. Perhaps the most incredible is the same source reports that 815,925 others attempted to take their own lives, one every 39 seconds. Beloved, this is scary. Why are so many people killing themselves? Why do you think? No hope. They don't have no hope. What do we have here tonight? We're born again. What do we have hope. We're going to go off and be with the Lord. We got the Holy Spirit in us. We got someone that can give us joy and peace as we get close to Him. Beloved, it's frightening how many people kill themselves in this country. And you know why they kill it? They don't have no hope. They say they don't have no reason to what? No reason to live. Hey, can I ask y'all a question? What's your reason to live? And when Jesus is always your, when He's your reason to live, there's always a reason to live. Always a reason to live. So suicide is just is out of control, just completely. So number two, what of capital punishment? If you study the scriptures on capital punishment, you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 6. Man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's pre-law. That's before He ever gave the law on Mount Sinai. That's what God said. So they practice capital punishment. Genesis 9, 6. Man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Then you got it in the law. That's how Israel dealt with a murderer. They stoned him to death. The Jews stoned to death. So they practiced capital punishment. Romans 13, that's what it says. The government is the appointed means to protect innocent people. They're the law. I mean, the government is the law. And they should enforce the laws of the land. I thank God for policemen, don't you? I thank God for the court system. I'm glad these jails too, aren't you? I'm glad they locked people up. It says in verse 13, talking about our government, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, but the powers, it's talking about your government, the powers that be are ordained of who? God ordained them. God set them in motion. Whosoever resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. The idea of that word is judgment in this text. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is, what are we talking about he is? That's the government. That's the officials in the government. That's your law, you know, your court systems and all that's included in us. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good works. But if thou do that which is evil, be what? Be afraid. Be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. Now, back in this day, one of the ways they executed you with the sword. I believe Apostle Paul was executed with the sword, but they would execute that way. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So, here's what we looked at this evening. We looked at the act of murder. We all realize what murder is. And we talked about the first one. We looked at the thought of murder. You can commit murder in your heart when you're talking about somebody through hatred and things. We talked about the murder of, I'm sorry, we talked about the mouth of murder was the third one. That's using mean bowel talk that really hurts people. Little kids are hard. It's hard on kids today when people mock them and make fun of them. And then there's murder of the infants. So those are four ways that murder is committed. I hope the Lord bless you.